case of dodging bullets in Afghanistan, or in this case, dodging suicide bombers, averting what might have been a mass suicide attack in the Afghan capital of Kabul. As we mentioned, according to our partner, the BBC, security officials seized as many as 11 suicide bomb jackets and made several arrests inside a security zone around the Ministry of Defense, very close to the presidential palace in Kabul. Bilal Sawari helped break this story. He's a correspondent for the BBC in Kabul. Bilal, what do we know as of this hour?
Well, we now know from Ministry of Defense officials, officially they're denying this. Officially they're saying nothing happened. But Afghan intelligence and security officials, both inside and outside the Ministry of Defense, have confirmed that 11 suicide vests were seized outside of the first security belt in the park area from three separate rooms. They also said that 11 buses were planning to transport 1,100 personnel, something they usually do, and the attack was meant to attack those 11 buses.
And is there any sense that these suicide bomb jackets were just a stockpile, or, as you say, the sources, at least, are pretty insistent that this was going to be a dramatic, a wide-scale attack on the Ministry of Defense in Kabul?
Well, officials are already saying that those were intended for those buses, and they wanted to carry a massacre, a bloodshed, according to one Afghan intelligence official. But the question is, how did those suicide jackets got in that secure area? A number of Afghan National Army soldiers, 18 of them at least, from support division are now in custody. They've been arrested. Six of them, we are being told, were armed and ready to attack. Remember, this is less than a kilometer away from President Karzai's official office and residence, the presidential palace. And last year, we had a similar infiltration, although on a much smaller scale, where an Afghan official at the Ministry of Defense helped transport a suicide attacker in army uniform all the way to the minister's office. Of course, that official was later on jailed and sacked, but it appeared that two suicide vests had been recovered from that official's house, and he had high level of security clearance.
That's extraordinary. We're talking with Bilal Sawari, who's the correspondent in Kabul for our partner, the BBC. Well, you know, a rogue officer, you know, turning on members of his own squad is one thing, but this seems to be a level of insurrection within the Afghan military and the defense ministry that would make the defense ministry impossible to govern on any level. How confident is the Afghan government moving forward that it even has a handle on this security situation?
Well, this is a very serious security breach because the Ministry of Defense is one of the most secure buildings in the country. This is not very far from the presidential palace. And it is not surprising in a way because Afghan officials in the last few weeks have been admitting to us here in the BBC that the virus of infiltration is spreading like cancer and curing it has not helped. It was time for an operation. We have seen all sorts of cases of infiltration. The one yesterday, the one last year, are the most high-profile one. There was another one in 2008 when attackers got weapons from the Ministry of Interior and special passes, and they attacked the only five-star hotel in the country, the Serena Hotel. So there has been those cases in the past as well.
And, you know, assessing the state of the hearts and minds situation in Afghanistan is something that you do every day. And we want to listen to some reporting that you did outside of Kabul to get a sense of where people stand. Let's listen to a bit of this dispatch and then come back and talk.
I'm standing inside Harun Mir's garden. There are apple and apricot trees. There's a grapevine. This fertile area in the Somali plain is known for its grapes, mulberries, and vegetables. The economy around Somali is heavily dependent on these products.
We sell it at a price that even it does not cover the cost. Before the start of conflict in Afghanistan, our products were mainly for the Indian market. And now since the Pakistanis are not collaborating, they are not allowing transit of Afghan goods and products to India, then we have no access to that big market.
What are the hopes and fears of Harun Mir as Afghanistan gets closer to 2014?
I hope that we will have a smooth transition, not only a security transition, but also a political transition in 2014, and hopefully by 2024, the old generation, those who have been involved in internal conflict in Afghanistan, would be out of the scene and the new generation will emerge at the leadership position. And my fear is that by 2014, we will not be able to manage the situation, and we fall back into chaos. The international community would leave and abandon us. And what I have done personally during the past 6 years in building this farm, we will lose everything once again. And that is the nightmare, not only for me, but for most villagers.
Although the market is now busy and thriving since foreign forces arrived in Afghanistan, the shopkeeper, Yarmal, does not want them to stay.
If they leave, then we will be happy. Afghanistan's army has reached nearly 200,000. Maybe our army will get bigger. The Taliban can't beat us. We can look after ourselves.
Dispatch there from Bilal Sawari, who is on the line from Kabul. 2014 is when the coalition is expected to withdraw from Afghanistan, but that individual says it won't be until essentially the current generation dies off before normalcy will return. That's very disheartening, Bilal.
It is. What you've seen in the last few weeks among Afghans is a lot of frustration, mistrust, and anger. The frustration is with the Afghan government, that's with corruption, with patronage, with lack of services. The frustration is there also with NATO, because what you've seen in the last few weeks is the burning of the Quran by U.S. soldiers in Bagram, later on the killing of 16 civilians in Kandahar by a U.S. Soldier. He's accused of killing them. These are all incidents that have contributed to a wave of anger, and we have seen people have reacted in a wave of emotions complaining about a lot of these problems. But generally, Afghans would want the foreign troops to stay because they know if they left right now, we could go back to the 90s, to the civil war.
Bilal Sawari in Kabul describing a disheartening situation as the U.S. plans to withdraw by 2014. Thanks so much.
Thank you.